I'm sure some of you parents have had the experience where all of a sudden you realize your child is missing. I'm sure panic sets in. Right before Christmas, I was doing some shopping at Giant Store, and a mom was frantically looking for her little toddler, and two clerks were helping. Well, the little toddler had just sort of stayed behind in the Christmas section looking at all the toys and candy and so on. But the poor mom was overwhelmed with this anxiety. Where's my child? Well, think of Mary and Joseph. Jesus and the family have come to Passover in Jerusalem. So they traveled 100 miles from Nazareth down to Jerusalem. Now they're headed home. Well, the whole community probably came down together, or a good number, and they would go back as a community because it was safer that way. Men would self-segregate to talk with men, women would with women, and so on. Seemed natural. Well, Joseph thought Jesus was with Mary, Mary thought Jesus was with Joseph, and by the end of a day, 20 miles later probably, where's Jesus? Panic. And think of that panic. Here they had been entrusted with the Son of God, the Lord, the Messiah. Where is he? So another day's journey back to Jerusalem. Then they have to retrace their steps and they find him. What a relief. Now, of course, St. Luke includes this story to show Jesus, even at age 12, is revealing who he is. He has that divine wisdom. But he also shows us that Jesus was born in the context of a family. So Jesus was given to our Blessed Mother, who'd conceived by the Holy Spirit. Joseph was the foster father. And then Jesus, albeit the divine Son of God, has to learn the human experience. So how beautiful it is that not only do we find the context of marriage and family, but then also little Jesus obeying, listening to his parents. Well, my brothers and sisters, we ponder this on this first Sunday after Christmas when we give honor to the Holy Family. Therefore, for you who are parents, pause and think of that great example of Mary and Joseph. For any good man, you're called to be that Saint Joseph for your family. Saint Joseph was the provider, but he's also the spiritual head. He led the family in morning prayer, evening prayer, grace at meals. He made sure they went to the synagogue for the Sabbath, and then, as we just heard, to Jerusalem for the special feast days. Mary, too, was that heart. So Joseph was the head, the spiritual head. Mary is the heart of the home. Yes, she was the good mother who does all those good motherly things, but truly, she makes the home the home. So for any father or mother here, have that devotion to Saint Joseph, to our Blessed Mother. And for the children, take the example from Jesus. Listen to your parents. They have the age wisdom of lived life. Listen to your parents. I remember growing up sometimes, I wondered why could I not do what other kids could do, or why did I have to do what other kids did not have to do? It makes a lot of sense right now. Well, given that, we have to think in our world today. I fear children are in danger of being lost. And really, moms and dads too are in danger of being lost to each other. And that is through technology. Now, technology is what it is. Much good comes from technology. We know that. But at the same time, the devil always will take something that's intended to be good and use it for evil. Before Christmas, I came across an article, Wall Street Journal, and the headline was, Fortnite's Frontline. Fortnite being this new popular computer game. And the subtitle is, the habit-forming video game has grabbed onto American boyhood, pushing aside other pastimes and hobbies, and transforming family dynamics. Well then, a friend of mine handed me an article that he had written called Technology, the New Addiction. And just a couple of brief phrases here. It said, today, as far as adults go, 95% of American adults own a smartphone, and or a cell phone, 77% a smartphone. But the technology works as it is originally intended, to enable to communicate, or is the increase in personal technology a sign of mass addiction? Then it goes on. It says, a recent study suggested that 78% of Americans between the ages of 18 and 24 use the social media app Snapchat, with a sizable majority of users, 71%, using the platform multiple times a day. In his book, The Teenage Brain, Dr. Francis Jensen writes, quote, technology is another opportunity for novelty seeking. And because the brain of a teenager is so easy to stimulate, all it takes is the latest digital toy to tease it into distraction. The cascades of neuroprocesses that kicks off the brain's reward circuitry and the rush of the pleasure chemical dopamine can be triggered just as easily by the release of the latest iPhone as by alcohol, sex, or a fast car. In some ways, technology is a drug. And then it continues, personal technology usage can be thought as a virtual hypodermic mechanism that delivers its digital drug content in a highly efficacious manner. Use of internet entertainment, particularly via the smartphone, seems to hamper our ability to manage and balance time, energy, attention, leading to lifestyle changes and behavioral deficits. Internet and video game addiction impacts motivation, reward, memory, and various aspects of psychological functioning. Now, with that, he listed also several problems. For instance, social media use also is linked to an increase in mental health problems, including anxiety, depression, and suicidality. Centers for Disease Control data reveals that all Americans under the age of 75, the suicide rate going up the fastest for those ages between 15 and 34. In May 2018, Blue Cross Blue Shield stated that diagnoses of anxiety and depression have risen by 33% in the past 5 years, a rate rising even faster among millennials, up 47%. The fertility rate in the United States has been in the decline since 2008, and part of it is due to the rise in online pornography viewing. Recent studies suggest that only 56% of high school seniors in 2015 went out for dates, compared to the baby boomers, like myself, who dated at 85%. 2018 survey by the Cigna Health Insurance Company showed that Generation Z, adults ages 18 to 22, is the loneliest generation and claims to be in worse health than older generations. And I could go on. Now, I don't do that to cause a problem, but what it means is the devil is on the attack. And our families, as individuals, can be lost to each other. Sister Lucia, who is one of the visionary children at Fatima, who died just a few years ago, said that after the Soviet Union fell, the greatest source of evil to attack would be on the marriage and on family. And it is happening. So what to do? Well, on this Feast of the Holy Family, it says, let's rethink and let's perhaps just reinforce what we already do. First is pray. As a family, pray together. It's wonderful to see you all here. We're part of God's family. But each day, take time for prayer, that grace at meals. Maybe even a morning offering together. Bedtime prayers with the family. I remember growing up having my parents kneel down with me and my brother and pray. Take time to pray with your little ones especially. That teaches them to pray. Read them the Bible stories. Let them read the Bible stories to you in the little children's Bible. Then when they're older, like eighth grade and so on, they'll start reading the real Bible on their own. Bring the presence of God through prayer into your lives as a family. Take time also for confession. We're all poor sinners. And when families go to confession together, they're saying, yes, all of us need forgiveness. We need to forgive each other. Secondly, eat together. The mealtime is so important. Studies show that families that eat 4 or 5 times a week together have a significant decrease in divorce, and then also teenage alcohol, drug, suicide, pregnancy, dropout rates. So the key here is set the mealtime, prepare the meal together, eat the meal, clean up afterwards, talk. It's a great time to socialize. Put away the contraption. It shouldn't be on the table. Talk to each other. Discuss what's going on in school. Talk about the moral issues. Talk about what's going on in the country. How else do we raise citizens for the future? And then lastly, play together. So play together in the sense of have a family night. Do a board game like Monopoly. Play cards. Do something together as a family. I remember when we had the derecho like 6 years ago, and then we had the snowstorm like 3 years ago. Families said, even though they lost electricity or lost the internet and so on, they had a great time because they acted like a family, actually playing games, eating together, having fun. So in all, pray, eat, and play. If you think about it, it's PEP. So put some pep into your family for the new year. But that's really what the grace of God is about, to strengthen us. That's the pep that God wants us to have. So my brothers and sisters, pause, talk to each other, and discuss how can you make your family stronger. If we strive to live like our Blessed Mother Mary, Saint Joseph, and Jesus, we will have a strong family and a family that is striving for holiness. As Pope St. John Paul II always said, families that pray together, stay together. And I would say families that pray together, eat together, play together, stay together. Strive to have that holy family. May God bless you.